gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Love and Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Love and Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Love and Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Joey, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Good night, thank you.
Good night.
Did you enjoy your early dinner, Kate?
Oh, yes, thank you, Tony.
I'm glad you like this little place. I ran across it one day, and I've been saving it for us.
Well, it's certainly off the beaten track.
And very private. So I'll put it on our list. The wine jug.
Oh, Tony, look, it's snowing again. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow.
I wish we were going to be out in it somewhere together. Kate, do you ski?
Oh, when I was little, I'd have to learn all over again. Tony, I think I'd better start back.
Ah, that's the only trouble with asking you to meet me here. You've got your own car.
Well, I think it was better this way.
Well, I don't. I don't like feeling that you're sneaking off to meet me.
Do you think I do?
Well, then why do it? Kate, Isabel and I are pretty good friends.
And she'd be very happy to have you come to the house. She'd tell you. She'd also be very upset.
Oh, I doubt that. Isabel's a very sophisticated lady.
That still wouldn't make it right with her.
That I'm married, if that's what you want to call it.
I didn't tell you she met Claire at a party in London, did I?
Everybody's met Claire. She likes high visibility. That's something I have to live with until the divorce.
You talk about it as if it were a fact.
It is. It's been a fact for 3 years.
Tony, that's just twisting words. Now, you've been separated for 3 years.
A woman can't hang on to a man's name forever. Even in these liberated days, a man has some rights. Oh, Kate, darling, let's not end this little chance to be together talking about Claire.
Well, I met her, but I don't understand her.
Very few people do. You look beautiful with the snow on your head.
Tell me that again.
You're so beautiful, darling.
Oh, not the way Claire is. Oh, I don't think I'll ever have her style.
Thank goodness for that.
Tony.
Change your mind? Go back for a nightcap?
No, thanks. I was just going to ask you a question. Now, one that's really none of my business.
Come on, ask it.
Are you having Christmas with Claire?
Good Lord, no. Kate, she doesn't want me around. For the holidays, I just paid a clothes bill for 4 new evening dresses.
Well, where are you having Christmas?
With Holly and Ned.
In the country?
Whatever Holly decides. But I'll see you before then.
No, I'm not coming into the city.
But I thought you said...
No, I thought I was too, but... Oh, Tony, when I got home from Gull Island and saw Isabel and Mrs. Jessup rattling around in that big old house trying to plan Christmas for themselves, I just couldn't walk out.
Oh, Belhaven wins.
Well, part of my life will always be in Belhaven, Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially Christmas. We'll all have dinner at my sister's, but... Well, I'll have to think of something for Christmas Eve. Oh, Tony, I've got to go.
This is the last Christmas we're going to be separated. That's the way it's going to be. Goodbye for now, darling.
Bye, Tony.
I like kissing you in the snow. Let's do that again.
Oh, Tony, what am I going to do about you?
Just love me. I'll do the rest.
Snow's coming down heavier, Isabel. Shouldn't Kate be home by now?
Now, Henry, I know how you feel about Kate. Arthur Wakefield was your oldest friend, but she's not a little girl anymore.
That's hardly relevant to bad driving conditions.
It's relative to Kate's being home. Do you think she's going to want to stay if we sit here like a couple of old fuddy-duddies fussing at her?
Put that way, no. So I'll bid you good night.
Oh, I've hurt your feelings, Henry.
Certainly not. You've stimulated them.
Then sit down, for heaven's sake. I invited you to dinner so you could have a chance to see Kate outside of that dismal office of yours.
I'm a newspaper editor, my dear, not a superstar. Now, where did Kate go, anyhow?
Well, I thought she'd be here for dinner, but when I got home, she'd left.
That doesn't quite answer the question, but no matter.
I'm not sure, really.
And she doesn't seem to feel accountable.
Henry, dear, this is 1975. Women are not accountable. Uh-oh, there she is now. Anybody home? Yes, Kate, in here in the study. Henry, you have 10 seconds to get into the 20th century.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Ah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
Kate, my dear.
Oh, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting, but I just had to run upstairs and change my shoes. Snow's getting so deep.
You look blooming, my dear.
Oh, I'm glad to be home. Hey, where's Isabel?
They're gone into the kitchen over some mysteries with Mrs. Jessup.
Oh, that'll be the coffee and cake and everything else.
Heaven forbid I've already done justice to dinner.
You know, all those two need is a man to fuss over. I don't think it's safe for you here, Henry.
It's a pleasant sort of danger. How are you, Kate?
Well, just fine. Couldn't be better.
And you're home for the holidays?
Until after Christmas. Unless something intervenes.
And for our sake, I hope it doesn't. How was Gull Island?
How do you want me to answer that?
Exactly as you wish to.
I knew you'd want to ask me.
None of us had any idea you'd go back there without saying a word.
If I had announced it all over Belhaven, what would you have done? You'd given me every reason in the world not to go.
Oh, no. I can imagine that Gull Island could have a pretty strong pull on you.
But it's over, Henry.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's over and finished.
How'd you find things on Gull?
Oh, Henry, why don't we talk frankly about it? I owe you an apology for never coming back to see you. I just had to do it my way, for my own reasons. But, I guess you know why I went up there.
I know that you'd heard from Stephen Wolfe.
Yes.
I could have spared you all that.
Henry, I had to find out for myself.
Wolfe told you?
Yes, he told me that my late husband was part of a drug ring. You knew all about it, didn't you?
Yes, Tom told me. In those last terrible days when he needed someone, he couldn't turn to his father. I tried to keep it out of Belhaven to protect you, Kate. So when I heard that Wolfe had come back, I could guess why. Was he trying blackmail?
No, nothing as simple as that.
What was he after?
A letter. He said Tom had left him.
There is no such letter. As executor, I went through all Tom's papers.
But, Henry, I found it.
You did? Where?
On Gull Island. I brought it back. I have it here right now. I'll show it to you.
Thank you.
You'll see why Stephen doesn't want to blackmail me. He wants to implicate me. Henry, he thinks Tom hid a shipment of drugs down in the islands, and he insists that I know where it is.
You?
Well, here's Tom's letter. Read it.
Dear Steve, I owe you a lot. The best thing I can do is not to involve you in my mistakes. The information you want could only bring you where it has brought me. I ask one favor, that you protect Kate.
See, there's nothing there. Is there? It's past. Henry, isn't it? Excuse me.
Hello? Oh, why, Tony, how are you? Yes, here's Kate.
Hi, Tony. Of course I got home all right. I only had 3 blocks to go. Yes, I loved it. You're on the parkway. Well, you better get going. No, I'll tell you when I see you.
So that's the way the wind blows.
Yes, Henry, and there's not a thing you or I can do about it.
I hope we don't have to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Authors Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Authors Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who's ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333 PA, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Ladies, gentlemen, faithful listeners, welcome. Be it said once again, I am William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. Reflect, please, upon a certain awkward, untidy, irritating situation which prevails. Rawdon, insisting that Becky marry him in secret, Becky doing her best to put him off. Becky's best usually is very good indeed. Not so in this touchy affair. To make matters worse, she has overplayed her hand with Miss Crawley. Let us hear of that, as soon reported to Giles, who nods by the fire, waiting for her mistress to enter the bedchamber.
Oh, Miss Becky, scared me near out of me wits.
Oh, I am out of my wits. Go back to sleep. I have to think.
Like I could sleep with doors slammed and you walking round and round the room. Now, Sit you down, Miss Becky, and let me brush your hair whilst you tell me all about it.
Oh, yes, all right, brush. Oh, what a dunce I am, Giles.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, don't agree with me. Tell me I'm not.
You're not.
Oh, thank you very much. I feel greatly better.
Now, what have you went and done, Miss Becky?
Oh, play the fool with Miss Crawley. Oh, why do I forget she's not a fool? I told her all was finished between Gordy and me.
Oh, gracious, why did you say that?
Oh, she's got to begin to want Mr. Rawdon to love me and marry me. She'll not do that till Gordy's out of the way, and I put him out of the way too fast. She looked me square in the eye, very suspicious, and said...
I confess myself astonished by all this, Rebecca. How quick you are finished with a man who is your every heartbeat. One quarrel, one. Most odd. I think I had best sleep on this. And you had best do the same.
Excuse me, Miss Becky. I'd not have believed you either.
No, it's all Rawdon's fault.
He didn't do it.
He made me do it. Oh, why did I ever have to fall in love? I could manage all this and not make mistakes if I didn't love him.
Then stop.
Oh, you are impossible tonight. Love doesn't come because one asks it to, nor stop because one asks it to. And Rawdon will not stop wanting us to be married.
Do you want him to stop?
I want him to stop wanting a secret marriage. He talks and talks of nothing else and refuses to listen when I say it's dangerous.
Miss Becky, would you like Mr. Rawdon to be a doormat?
Oh, of course not.
A milksop?
No.
A nothing?
Oh, well, do leave off. You know I don't.
Then don't be mad with him when he don't do a hop, skip, rigadoon every time you call the tune.
Mm.
You'd not like him if he did. Now, you'd ought to be proud he wants to marry you so bad he'd take any chance to do it.
But we daren't take a chance. He wants his inheritance from Miss Crawley as much as I do. And we need her help before the inheritance ever comes. If she found out about a secret marriage, oh, my, do I have to tell you?
No, miss.
He has no money, no prospects. Are we to live in genteel poverty because we were so foolish as to be married before she approved? Oh, why can't she wait?
Of course, he loves you. Would you have him not?
Oh, stop asking your foolish questions.
One more, and it ain't foolish. Would you not like to be married now and not wait?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I would.
Well, then.
Well, then what?
'Tis why you went too fast with Miss Crawley and done it so bad. You can't wait no more than Mr. Rawdon can.
Oh, I suppose you could have done it better with Miss Crawley.
Likely I could. Me heart ain't mixed up in it.
Then suppose you go in tomorrow morning and do it better.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I thought I'd do. Mm. Straighten out what you done wrong.
Oh, my, my, my. Don't we flatter ourselves.
No, miss. I learnt from you. Of course, if you don't want me to...
I do. Oh, I do. No, come, come, sit by the fire. We'll plan what you're to say.
Good morning, Miss Crawley. I've brung your early tea.
Morning, Giles. Thank you.
I do hope you slept better than Miss Becky.
Rebecca did not sleep well.
Oh, walked the floor half the night, she did. I reckon you know why.
I do not know why.
Mr. Gordy, she told you. She said she did.
Oh, yes, indeed, she told me. They quarreled and she is finished with him. Poof, like that.
Finished. Tis what she'd like to be, but she... No, I oughtn't talk of it.
I insist you talk of it. But she what?
Tis this way, Miss Crawley. Love don't come when you ask it to, and don't go when you tell it to. She's terrible outdone with Mr. Gordy, but that don't truly change how she loves him.
Well, so, I'm very glad you told me this, Giles. Miss Becky wasn't herself last night. I felt a, what shall I say, an undercurrent, and I couldn't comprehend.
Well, the current was, she still don't know if she'd ought to run off and marry him on account of, if she don't, he might leave her.
She's thinking of it. She gave me the opposite impression.
'Tis the impression she'd be pleased to give herself. 'Tis what she says. but she's thinking of it, I can tell. Walking the floor, crying, saying she wished she'd never fell in love. Miss Crawley, what do you think she'd ought to do?
I think two things. One very selfish, one foolishly romantic. I worry that I might lose her. But an elopement, how romantic. And I can see why she'd be tempted.
Oh, well, elope she might, ma'am. But leave you? Never. That you can depend upon. She said it I don't know how many times.
How horrid of me to have misunderstood the dear girl last night. Thank you for setting me straight, Jack.
Another calamity averted, at least for the time being. But calamity in the person of Rawdon soon arrives. It is some time before he can be alone with Becky. But they manage. Do they not always?
You told Aunt Matilda, my angel, that beastly Gordy is forever gone.
Rawdon!
You didn't tell her.
I did, but it won't work magic, my darling.
Damn me, you vowed it would. She'd begin to think of you and me together.
I didn't say it would happen today, this minute. We have to bide our time and her time. Now, here you've come this morning thinking everything is solved.
Yes, did.
Oh, how can you be such a little boy?
Such an ass is what you mean. Confound it, nothing's any better than it was before. We have to wait 10 years, 15 for all I know.
15? Oh, what do you mean?
You won't marry me till Auntie dies, that's what I mean.
Oh, no, no, my love, don't say that. As soon as she thinks of me more and more as her daughter, then she'll entertain the idea of you and me, the two people she loves best.
I can't wait, Becky. Not 15 years or 15 days. Can't, won't.
Oh, but dearest, you must. What can you do instead?
Fight a duel with that upstart blackmailing blackguard Hooton and get myself killed.
Rawdon!
Sorry. Didn't mean it. But it's damn well how I feel.
Oh, do let's stop talking about it.
Nothing else to talk about.
No, there is. Christmas. My darling, what can I give you for Christmas? I've so little money, but I want to give you something you want and love. Something Miss Crawley can't see. Tell me what.
Something I love?
Yes.
Something she can't see?
Yes.
I've got it. Perfect. Fits every word you said. I want it, need it, love it, she can't see it, won't cost money.
Tell me, and you shall have it.
You.
Oh, Rawdon. How entirely I love you.
Then my heart, my soul, my life, give me Becky Sharp for Christmas.
Becky Sharp for Christmas. Becky Sharp wrapped in shining gold paper. Becky tied with red bow ribbons. Was ever there such a presence as Becky Sharp? Tomorrow, dear friends, if you are not out shopping for lesser gifts, be with me here with your Yuletide servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Excuse me, miss. Oh, could you wait on us, please? Oh, honestly, come on, let's go up the fourth floor, dear, and look for something in the men's department. Men's department, your Uncle George. Come on, dear. Come on,
take your handbag.
Oh, yes.
What's the matter with you? In a crowd of shoppers like this, no matter where we stop, you set your handbag on the counter and walk off without it.
All right, I know. I got it, dear.
Hey, there's a package slipping out from under my arm. You better grab it.
Which one?
Hey, look out. Everything will fall.
All right.
The long box.
I've got it, dear. It's a tie box. I've got it.
Oh, listen, please. I've had it. I've got to go sit down somewhere.
Well, the lounge is on the seventh floor, and it'll take us 15 minutes just to get into an elevator to get up there.
Boy, I admit, man of the weaker sex, I'm in a state of collapse.
We haven't even finished shopping. Now, chin up
my
here.
My chin is up. It's resting on a mountain of packages.
Come on this way. That doorway says stairs. Let's go through here. You can sit on the stairway a minute.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Woo! And I'm so hot in this heavy overcoat.
Well, take it off, dear, and carry it.
I can't carry my coat and the packages, too.
Now, be careful. Don't just dump the parcels down on the stairs like that. One of them has a travel clock for Aunt Martha, and it's breakable.
Oh, gee.
Honey, I'm just as exhausted as you are. Now, let's see. Where's my shopping list?
Oh, no, you're not. You got a sparkle in your eye like a Notre Dame football player, and you charge through these crowds like a quarterback.
You don't seem to get tired playing 18 holes of golf.
What?
How come just a little shopping drags you out completely? Now, let's see. The clock for Aunt Martha, the lazy Susan, canopy tray for Dorothy, driving gloves for Uncle Charles, and a pipe lighter, a sweater for your father. Your mother would like a small evening bag, which will be right here on the main floor, so let's go back in now. Come on, dear.
Come on. I just sat down.
Well, get up. The store closes at 9, and that gives us just an hour to finish all our shopping. And I'm not coming back into town tomorrow or the next day. Come on, sweetheart. Come on.
Now, look. Why don't I take all the packages and go on out to the parking lot and put them in the car?
Come on, dear.
Honey, wait for me.
Come on. I'm holding the door. Evening bags are right over here next to the main entrance. Come on, dear.
Excuse me. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Come on, dear.
Sorry.
Keep going. Stout heart?
I need some stout feet.
Excuse me. Dear, here are the evening bags. We'll never get waited on. Miss? Oh, Bob, you're right. You go on out to the parking lot. Put the packages in the car. I'll pick up an evening bag for your mother. Pipe lighter for Uncle Charles, and then I'll be right out. And I'll meet you at the car. Oh, here. You might as well take my packages, too. Just let me tuck them in your neck. Oh, miss? Miss, could you possibly wait out?
Okay. I'll see you out in the car. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
All right. You want to just step over here?
Look out now, will you? I'll drop all my Hey, what is this? Let go of my arm.
I'll ask you to come with me, and I'm sure you prefer to come quietly rather than cause a disturbance in front of the store.
Well, what in Sam Hill are you talking about? Who are you?
Store detective.
Detective? Well, what do you want with me?
Now, I'm going to ask you just once more if you want to come quietly. Otherwise, I'm going to blow this whistle, and there'll be two other security officers out here to carry you back in the store. Now, what's it going to be? Pal.
Well, now look here, pal. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll tell you one thing. Nobody is going to carry me back into the store. Not if you just tell me what is going on, because... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, let go. Will you put me down? Will you just put me down?
Now, you want to give me your name?
I'm not going to give you anything. I demand to see the manager of this store, and I'm going to hand him a nice little lawsuit, dragging me through the store, hauling me up here to the office.
You got a record?
Record? I don't need any record of it. I can testify myself that you stopped me outside the store, then these two gorillas pounced on me.
You got a prison record, never been in jail?
What? Who do you think I am?
I think you're a shoplifter, maybe one that hasn't been caught before. And I'm going to tell you fairly and squarely that if you produce the evidence yourself without being searched, things will go a lot easier on you in the long run. If, of course, this is your first offense.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't. Honestly, first offense.
Okay, if that's the way you want to play, reach in that shopping bag and pull out the alligator handbag you slipped in.
What? You mean this. Well, it's my wife's handbag.
Yeah?
Yes, she's always laying it down on the counter and walking off, so I thought I'd teach her a lesson. I picked it up and waited for her to miss it.
This is your wife's handbag?
Certainly. I gave it to her several years ago, 2 years ago, and by gosh, for a man who has been a charge customer at this store for 15 years, to be put through this ridiculous and humiliating...
Uh-huh, this is your wife's handbag? After 2 years, it's still stuffed with nothing but tissue paper and contains nothing but the price tag?
Yeah, well, you mean that's a new bag? And it was in, my shopping bag? I don't know how it got there.
I know how it got there. I saw you put it in myself.
Well, I thought it was my wife's handbag.
Uh-huh.
It looks just like it.
Sure.
I told you I picked it up to teach her a lesson because she's always setting her bag down, and I thought...
Yeah. You told me all that.
Well, it so happens to be the truth. My wife can vouch for it. Yeah. Ooh, my wife! She's probably standing out there freezing to death in the parking lot wondering where I am. I've got the car keys.
Yeah? Okay. Bring her up. How long have you two been working as a team?
You're not dragging my wife up here.
Dragging may be just the right word. I understand she put up quite a fight. One of my men had to go to first aid. If this is the first time you two have been picked up...
Now, listen. I want to tell you something. You're making one big mistake. And I'll also tell you something else. When my wife gets up here, we may all need some first aid. Now, you go get the manager.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Well, my goodness, you two certainly had one exciting evening. I was beginning to worry about you. I knew the stores closed at 9.
The manager, when he finally showed up, apologized all over the place. And I think if it hadn't been Christmas time, we'd have sued the store.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when that detective hauled out that brand new alligator handbag and showed me the thing filled with tissue paper and the price tag...
Well, it was just like mine, dear. Almost no difference, and mine still looks new. You know, it's very easy to see how you made a mistake.
Now, come on out to the kitchen. I kept dinner warm for you.
Okay.
You can eat while you tell me about it. Oh, there's a whole bunch of Christmas cards that came today. They're on the hall table. Now, come on out.
All right. Thank you, Aunt Maggie. Bring the cards, dear, and we'll open them out here. You know, it was pretty dumb of you to take my handbag or what you thought was mine and stick it in the shopping bag.
Well, I told you I wanted to teach you a lesson.
Well, you're just lucky it all worked out this way.
Are you two coming out to eat?
Yeah.
I have everything ready. And I'd like to see what you bought tonight.
I'll bring the sacks here.
Yeah.
I got a travel clock for Aunt Martha. Uh-huh. It's in that box over there.
Martha? Oh, good heavens, a travel clock. She never goes anywhere.
Well, maybe she will now. And I got a Lazy Susan canopy tray for Dorothy, who never entertains, now that I think of it.
Well, you got gloves for somebody. Everybody wears gloves.
Yeah, but now I seem to remember I got that pipe lighter for Uncle Charles. I think he stopped smoking, even pipes. Oh, dear. Well, they can always exchange things, I guess.
I got some nice hot blueberry muffins.
Oh,
boy, Aunt Maggie, I'll never lose weight.
Well, I've given up. I feel so grimy. When I washed my hands, there were terrible mobs in the store. It was so crowded, and I...
What's the matter?
What?
I still got the ring on.
What ring?
I was trying on rings. Debbie said she wanted a ring for Christmas, an aquamarine. Nothing terribly expensive. No, I still got it on. I kept it on while I tried to get a sales girl.
You mean we were really shoplifters tonight after all?
Goodness. You should have tried on a diamond ring.
I do.
Don't worry about it. If you keep it for Debbie, just pay for it when you send a check for the next department store bill.
Well, they won't have any record of the sale. And after what we've been through tonight, I do not intend to tell them how careless I am.
All right. Don't worry. We'll just pay for it.
I think I know what happened. I was trying to find the sales girl. I couldn't get anybody to wait on me. And then you asked if I had anything for Aunt Clara, and I said no.
Honey, please, stop worrying about how it happened. It happened. No big deal. Well, now, come on. Let's eat. I'm so tired. At least we're through shopping for Christmas.
Yeah, Peter, killing me. And as usual, we spent twice much as we planned.
Down and eat. And start at the beginning and tell me what happened tonight. What you said, what he said, and what she said.
Well, I had just left Peg and walked out of the store when this guy grabs my arm and says, I'm sure you prefer to go quietly.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Caroline, where are you?
Over here, behind the tree, dear.
Oh, well, no wonder I couldn't see you. Hey, that's some tree.
Yes, it is beautiful, isn't it?
It must be, 12 feet tall?
At least.
Putting the star on top is going to be quite a job.
Oh, Lynn can do it. We have the ladder.
She's always loved that part of Christmas.
Who started the tradition?
Oh, it comes from her mother's side. It's always the youngest girl in the family. She puts the star on the top of the tree and lights the tree for the first time.
Now, let's see. Hodges has put the wreath on the front door. And here's the Georgia pine for the mantle.
And the eggnog?
Oh, Robert, Edith's doing that now.
You're organized perfectly as usual, Caroline.
Oh, and you can check out the tree lights.
Oh, well, as I remember, they were working when we packed them away last year.
They always do, dear.
And what happens to them in the meantime?
What? Oh, they probably run down or something.
Run down?
You know what I mean.
Yes, I guess I do. Hey, Carol, what do you think about asking Bill Sloan out for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Well, I like Bill, but... Do you think it's a good idea?
Well, I feel sorry for him. And it'll be his first Christmas without Lynn.
I know, but since Lynn will be here and Kurt...
Well, their annulment wasn't bitter, Caroline, and Lynn and Bill have seen each other since.
Yes, but what about Kurt?
Well, I'm not too concerned about him.
I know that, Robert. You haven't kept it a secret.
I'm sorry if you disapprove.
Oh, that's not important. But you might be making both Lynn and Kurt uncomfortable.
I haven't noticed that.
I know that too, Robert. Now look, if you really feel you want them to stay on here, you should be a little kinder to Kurt.
Kinder? I let him marry my daughter, didn't I?
Oh, Robert, come off it, dear. You couldn't have stopped them.
Oh, well.
Now here, dear, please put the mistletoe up in the chandelier. Now, there's a little hook.
All right. There you are. And there you are.
Well, that's a nice family scene.
Robert Robert was checking out the mistletoe.
Oh, I see. Well, let's see if it works. Merry Christmas, Caroline.
And the same to you, Kurt.
I thought you were going into town today.
Well, there's nothing much to do until after the holidays. Business just comes to a halt.
I see.
Oh, where's Lynn?
She went in to see her brother about the hospital newsletter. She's starting it up after the first of the year.
Well, I guess news never comes to a halt, does it?
What do you think should be in the newsletter, Angela?
Well, then how often will it be coming out?
Once a week to start.
And it's for patients and the staff, too?
That's right.
I think I'll have another cup of coffee.
Oh, I will, too.
Which is just freshly made, ladies. Thank you. Aren't those two groups almost in opposition to each other?
Uh-huh. And that's the very reason for the newsletter.
And we have Upper Brown Betty for dessert.
Oh, with lemon sauce?
That's right.
Oh, let me dream about it.
Oh, now you could treat yourself for the holidays.
Oh, we already have. I hope I make it through them in the same dress size.
Look. We were talking about the newsletter.
Oh, yes. Well, one very good reason for having it for the patients and the staff is so that they'll appreciate each other more.
And you can do that with a once-a-week newsletter?
It's a start. You know, everyone always thinks and worries about his own problems.
And you think you can get them to think about the other person's problems, right?
Or at least be aware of them.
Well, if you can do that... I think they're looking for you at the UN.
Oh, we've got to make a try.
Yes, of course, you're right. And Christmas is a good time to start it.
I've always wondered that why the things that we all love at Christmas time can't last through the whole year.
I know. Strangers smile at each other. People hold doors open.
The hard edges of everything seem to soften.
And it's just good for a few days. This is a different Christmas, though.
How do you mean?
Because of Jennifer. Every time I see her, I feel so, well, overwhelmed with the thought of how wonderful life is. Not only at Christmas time, but all the time.
I think Jennifer's story is absolutely perfect for Christmas.
Yes. Without her, well, I can't imagine what it would be like if we hadn't been able to save her.
Well, that's why I'm writing it for the paper.
The newsletter.
No. Jason thinks, and I agree, the story should get much wider publicity.
He does?
Well, the story, not the people, or at least not the names.
Yeah, but for what reason?
He says that people should be aware that long immersion, particularly your children in cold water, doesn't mean that they can't be saved.
Of course, he's so right. If Joe Gonzalez hadn't known about the case of the Norwegian boy...
Right, he might not have realized that Jen could be revived.
You know, Joe Gonzalez is now practically a member of this family.
Yes, Caroline met him and thought he was charming.
Oh, he's much more than that.
How's Emily?
Well, she's been so involved with Jennifer since the accident.
Jason said Jennifer seemed to have no lasting effects or brain damage.
We don't think so. But Emily's been working with her, making sure she exercises and reads.
Well, I guess I don't have to wait to write a happy ending. I'd like to finish it up since it is such a good holiday story, and it'll probably get a good spot in the papers because between Christmas and New Year's, news is scarce.
Lynn, you really like newspaper work, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I'm going to see that it gets to the wire services, and that way it will get wide distribution.
You know, you sound like a different person when you talk about work.
I do? Yes.
Oh, well, to be honest with you, more capable than I've usually thought of you.
More independent, maybe?
Yes, I guess so.
You've always been independent, Angela. You don't know what it's like to have to fight for it.
And you don't know what it's like to be on your own. And sometimes, very much alone.
Now, I've always believed the larger ornament should be at the bottom of the tree and then graded up to the smaller ones at the top.
It's a very good theory, in theory, dear.
What do you mean, Caroline?
Well, it usually gets forgotten as we find empty spots here and there to fill in.
She's right, Robert. Theories don't always hold up.
Well, you do believe the lights go on first, however.
Is there any other way?
You didn't start without me.
Oh, no. I know.
That was a long lunch, Lynn.
Oh, not really, dear. I finished up the Jennifer story and dropped it off at the paper.
Good. When are they going to print it?
Next week, I think. Darling, you'll see my name in the paper. They promised me a byline.
Well, that's good news, isn't it?
And they paid me a freelance fee.
Oh, that's marvelous, darling. Are you going to do more?
Oh, I'll see. I've got to get the Jefferson Hospital newsletter started first.
Well, now, come on, Lynn. We've been waiting for you.
Well, that's right. The star on the top of the tree.
Here it is, bright as ever.
Kurt, darling, will you steady the ladder? Oh, Caroline, I think this is almost the tallest tree we've had in here.
I think so, too, Lynn.
Is that right?
A little more to the left, toward the east.
Okay. How's that?
It looks fine to me.
Now, let the decorating begin. Let every branch be loaded with baubles bright and gay,
and every wish be granted.
As angels dance and play,
and all the lights in all the homes
send out the message clear. Once again, it's Christmas. A dream, a hope, a day.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.